Supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunith Chi, Shawa, Toksknusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream for a behind-the-scenes look in the studio on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Coming up this Friday, October 10th, Hearthside Books is hosting a reading of local authors published by Cirque Press on Saturday, October 11th. That's tomorrow. We have a preview with authors Larry Spengler and Margot Waring. The Juno Pioneers of Alaska is having a wood stacking contest happening now. We find out how you can participate. And Mudroom's Storytelling Night with the theme of creature comforts is next Tuesday, October 14th. We chat about what to expect at next week's event. It's local connection and conversation this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tak anakaya ha anikak. Gunish cheesh.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is keich.
Keich.
That means dog. And here's a sentence. The dog is the man's best friend. Let's hear it again. Gunash Chish Tchune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Taku Society.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on the live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Hearthside Books is hosting a reading by local authors, all published by Cirque Press, on Saturday, October 11th, tomorrow at 3 p.m. The reading will happen at the new Mendenhall Mall branch of Hearthside Books. Yes, indeed, it has moved, and it is a beautiful location. Confirmed authors are Larry Spengler, author of Taking Time, Margot Waring, author of Growing Older in This Place, Sue Liam, Bob Fagan, Kate Troll, Dan Branch, and maybe every other author that's been published by Cirque Press. I am joined now in the studio to chat a little bit more about this event by Larry Spengler, Margot Waring, and from Cirque Press, Sandy Clevin. Hi, Gunith Chi, Sandy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Absolutely. And Margot, Gunith Chi, Shwasiiti, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. And Larry, welcome back to the show. You were here earlier this year talking about your book, Taking Time.
That was a fun experience.
Thank you. Gunith Chi for being here. And we also have in the studio with us the proprietor and owner of Hearthside Books. We have Olga. Hi, Olga.
Hi, Bastien. Thank you for having us here.
Of course. It's so good to have you here. Happy, is it 50th anniversary?
50th.
Everybody's 50th. Having a 50th birthday. KTO had a 50th birthday. The Folk Festival had a 50th birthday. Yeah. Hearthside Books has a 50th birthday. Now, here's what's cool. When we were in the store the other day, my partner and I, she noticed you had the table out there in the front, which has photos. You remember those things, photos that you could actually print out and have hard copies of? And there's all these great photos from the Hearthside dinners and different events over the years. So it's a really cool way to look back at the history. And it was making me really miss photos, you know? And I know we have like audiobooks and things like that now too, but it's also really great that we have something like Cirque Press to be able to still be printing the hard copies of these things, which is so fantastic. So Olga, before you hand the mic over to Sandy there, tell me, how did this event come about? How did you begin to think about wanting to do this event there at Hearthside Books?
I think that things happened naturally over time. One of my personal goals when I acquired Hearthside Books 3 years ago was to make it more community oriented. I am, by training, a librarian, so I wanted to do some of that. And that meant saying yes to a lot of authors. If I thought that what the author was interesting, I was going to try to promote them. And up that I ended up saying yes to Margot and to Larry and to Sue Liam, and we had them doing signings and things with us. And then after some of this happened, Sandy contacted me and said, you know, you've been selling a lot of books from these authors. what can we do to help you? And I like so much what she does, because she does like real Alaskan things, which is the one thing I love to promote. When she said we could have a reading by local authors there, I said, when? Pretty much.
When, yeah. That's so cool. Okay, and Sandy, so Cirque Press, which is based out of Anchorage and is an offshoot of the wonderful Cirque Journal. You can go to cirquejournal.com, right, to see everything. It's C-I-R-Q-U-E, journal.com, and you'll see the listing for Cirque Books, which is sort of an offshoot, right? So tell me a little bit about the beginning of Cirque Journal, how you got involved, and we'll start there.
Okay. Back in about 2008, Mike Burwell was ready to start a journal because the Writers of Alaska just did not have that many opportunities to publish in a journal type format. Ice Flow out of UAA had closed, and he considered taking that over, but that was not the way. Encouraged by Tom Sexton, a past writer laureate, he went ahead, took the plunge, and started Cirque the Journal. I was in the first edition. Was terribly interested, wonderfully interested. He already had the whole format with the photographs and all of the other things that make it a very special journal. You know what, 150 plus pages, really big, really wonderful. He already had it set up too that it would not just be Alaska, it would be Alaska and the Northwest. North Pacific Rim is how he put it, and we always say, well, we'll take stuff from Magadan if it ever comes in, you know, those other North Pacific. But we have published from the Yukon and other places. I joined him. He left Alaska in about 2012, and he's located down near Taos, New Mexico now. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him twice since then, but we put out nearly 30 journals. And then in 2017, I heard a wonderful poet read at a monthly event in Anchorage called Poetry Parlay. Her work was so good, and I knew she was kind of elderly. And I thought, do you have more of this? And so many of the poets have writing spread all over the landscape in many, many journals. So would you have enough to bring that together as a book? And she did. Mm. I said to Michael, Cirque is a book. We know how to do a book. And so we did. And it was published in 2018, a big year for us, too. That's when the Writer's Block bookstore and restaurant opened, and when 49 Writers, the club of Alaska Writers came into being. Very wow. exciting things had happened around that same time. Actually, Alaska Club and the beginning of Cirque the Journal came out in about 2008, so I'm backing up to that. But mm-hmm. the bookstore, because that's where we did our launch events. So we grew into it gradually, and I'll just kind of wrap up this part by saying, surprisingly, we have now published about 65 books, and there were 6 out of Juneau. We do these parties like we do at the Writer's Block when they come out, like a launch party. All 6 of these were written with only contact over Zoom over a period of like the last 3 years, maybe 4 years, but we never had the party, the reading that together introduces the book to the public. So in a way, that's what we're doing tomorrow. And not just these 6 wonderful books, but 6 other writers who we published in Cirque the Journal or who are associated with Cirque the Journal. So they are on the docket tomorrow as well.
Yeah, this is Juneau Afternoon. We're talking about the Cirque author reading event, basically, tomorrow at Hearthside Books. It's going to be in the Mendenhall Valley location. That's Saturday, October 11th at 3 p.m. For those on the stream, you can see the collection of all the writers that are going to be there. As she mentioned, other readers, Cynthia Steele, Sandy will be reading as well, as well as a lot of people, Richard Stokes, Emily Wall, and among others. So there's just a bunch of people ready to read tomorrow. So it's going to be, what a wonderful event. It's going to be so fantastic. And I love the fact that you had published almost 65 books, you said, or at 65 now?
Right.
Yeah, and you said something to me about that you've published like 15 of them this year?
Yes.
Or by the end of this year, you will have published 15 books?
Yes.
Okay, now here's the thing. So I know you said, this is so fascinating to me, because you have the press, and so the Cirque Journal, but then you have this press where you do these books. Are these all being made in Anchorage? Where do you make the books?
We are doing them with KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing, which okay. is a print-on-demand through Amazon. Some people go boo-hiss, but they shouldn't, because this is what makes it all possible.
Right, the self-publishing basically on Amazon that people can do, right?
They could do that,
yeah,
but
they
now
could
they're
do that,
not.
But now
they're doing it with a legitimate publishing company.
Oh, okay, great.
Us.
That's so cool. Yeah,
yes.
With you. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's so cool, because I always, when I talk to people, like when Larry was here in the summer, I'm always curious, like, how do you get published, right? If you're a local writer and you're sitting in your room and you're writing your stories, you're writing your poetry, you're writing your book, and then you're like, okay, now I have this stuff. What do I do with it? Now, I know you don't necessarily take submissions directly, Sandy, but how do you go about finding your authors?
They come to us, and we are drawing them largely through the journal. We consider ourselves a literary publisher. We don't have the time or energy to be vetting many, many submissions coming in, and so it's almost like word of mouth. Those we know, but easy for people to become one of those we know. Just submit to Cirque the Journal and get some work in the journal, and gradually we get to know you. You can see it's so big. We publish hundreds of people in each version. I want to correct something, too, though. You mentioned Dan Branch. Dan Branch came to us. He was the head of 49 Writers.
Okay.
He came to us when he had brain cancer and said, I've got a book ready to go. I have brain cancer, and if it's not out this fall, I'll never see it. So we moved right into getting it done, had it done by Christmas. This is also during the pandemic. And at Christmas, in a Zoom launch, his daughter read for him, and tomorrow Richard Stokes is going to read for Dan Branch.
Okay, great.
Because
okay.
he passed away
okay.
before.
I did not know that.
He passed away in about January of that year.
Okay. Great.
And also, Cynthia Steele couldn't make it. What, $600 round trip to get here from Anchorage? I could have gone to Mexico. So only one of us ended up making the trip.
I understand. Yeah, we know well, those who live in Juneau, the prices of getting in and out of this town. It's kind of nuts, especially when you can get somewhere farther away from Anchorage, but for about the same amount of money. Kind of insane. But it's so fantastic, this event happening tomorrow. So let's talk with Margot Waring and Larry Spengler a little bit. So Margot, your book, Growing Older in This Place, that's a poetry collection, yeah?
That's correct.
Okay. And so how many poems did you have collected over the years before you started to put it into book form?
You know, I never counted, but they filled a box.
They filled a box. Awesome.
And I had been submitting to CIRC, the journal, and to other places for some time before I put together a bunch and sent it in and said, what do you think? And Michael Burwell said, love it. It's done.
It's done. Let's make it a book. Did you have trouble selecting the poems that you would put in the book? How did you go about that process?
I wish I had an easy answer to that, but I don't. Some poems kind of seem to come naturally in relationship to one that I had selected. There's the thematic element of growing older, which is something that is throughout the book. And so just taking stacks of paper and stacks of things on the computer and thinking about, does this fit?
Did you have to do any of that thing that they say in like writing where you had to like kill your babies? Is there ones that you didn't make the cut in for the book?
I didn't think of it as killing my babies, though. I put them aside temporarily. and I have actually collected some others with other abandoned babies.
I see, I see. And maybe so then maybe there's another collection in the works.
Hearthside has two other collections of mine.
Okay, yeah.
That were not done through CIRC.
I see, okay. But there could be a CIRC sequel. As they were. That's what I'm, CIRC sequel. That's what I'm kind
Could
of.
Be.
I see. So you'll be reading from that book tomorrow.
That's great.
Okay. I see you have some pages flagged. Is there any that you would want to read on the air for us?
I can do that.
If there was like a short one that you would love to read?
Now?
Or yeah, that would be great.
Look we through have and find it.
Oh, if you want to look through for a second, you find one, and then I can talk to Larry here. So, Larry, you, I know, this book. Tell us a little bit about Taking Time. Remind us what this book is about.
The full title is Taking Time, Sailing with My Family in Southeast Alaska. So part of it is about the 18 years, the experiences my family had during our 18 years of owning our sailboat. The first part of the title, Taking Time, refers to two things. One is, in a sailboat in Southeast Alaska, you cannot be on a schedule. You have to take your time because you never know which way the wind is going to be blowing. The other meaning of taking time, in my mind, is our family made ourselves take time away from regular life and get out on the boat and not have cell phone and internet or anything, and it was so restorative. So I felt like those the lessons we learned from that would apply to people, whether they had a sailboat or not. And it was a useful template to put out there as you could do this in an RV. You could get a public use cabin. You could just stay home and not answer the door. You just have time away.
Right.
So
I remember our interview back in June. That really hit me, the idea, you know, because you're talking about basically getting away from technology and sort of really being centering family in that sense and using the sailboat and the sailing to kind of be the impetus for that, which is fantastic. So how do you then go about for tomorrow? Obviously, you're not able to read the whole book, but how do you decide which pieces to read for tomorrow?
Yes, I was so harshly told only 10 minutes each, so you know, I don't know. Well, I picked one little part from the beginning when our family was starting out when none of us knew how to sail. One little part from the middle that it exemplifies how much wildlife and beauty you can pack into a trip that's only involves two overnights. I mean, you don't have to go out for a week to experience herons and whales and sea lions and so forth. And then a very little bit at the end because we sold our boat in 2022. And reflecting back on how it was to have the boat. So it's a little bit of the boat. The book is not chronological. It's episodic. So there's a chapter on boat food and peculiar adventures. But those three parts that I picked are in order of our living them. So
I see. Okay. And for you, is there something that you're working on now that you want to publish soon? Or what's your next project?
I am still writing the fact that this one got published. And I have some other ideas, but I haven't started on anything
I yet, see. So. Waiting for the muse to hit you, as it were. Yeah, and riding the high of getting this published. Because this just came out.
June. And it had a magnificent book signing. It was so fun on a first Friday at Hearthside. Olga did such a good job with that. And it was we were lucky. It was a sunny day and people were wandering around. And so that was, and I also feel really blessed because Cirque Press was there, because I never heard of Cirque Press. But then I knew Dan Branch's book was put out by Cirque Press, and I knew one of Margot's books was put out by, so I knew some local authors. But I looked online, I could find no submission rules. I mean, if you look at publishers, they say, okay, here's how you submit. So I sent an email, and Sandy wrote back and said, well, what's it about? Maybe send us the manuscript. So it was much less formal than other approaches.
Yeah, I feel like if you put low submission guidelines online, you're going to be inundated with submissions. And Sandy, as you were telling me before we went on air, Cirque Press staff is small.
Right.
It's you and then some people that you contract with when you get to doing the publishing part, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's sort of a small operation, and so it is really by word of mouth. But you'd heard of them.
That's how I heard of them. Yeah.
And you found the network. You found the way in.
I did.
Yeah, that's so cool, because I'm always curious about that, how that works. And so maybe you'll meet Sandy tomorrow. If you're out there and you're listening and you have a book and you've got a project or working on some poems, Sandy will be there tomorrow at this event. It's a fantastic way to get introduced, at least make that initial connection. And like Larry and like Margot here, maybe you get Cirque Press to publish your book. It's so cool. I love that. I wish I had an idea for a book. Okay, Margot, let's close with maybe one of your poems.
First, I just want to say how wonderful the experience of working and finding Cirque Press has been for writers in Alaska who tend to feel a bit at the edge of anything else.
Well said.
This is a very short poem called Shared Dreams. My old dog coughs, wakes in the night, circles his sleeping pad to find a softer spot for knotted joints. I too awake, aching, seeking a softer sleeping spot for knotted joints. Both dream of long, loose limbs and play in empty fields.
That's so nice. I love that. That's so good. Olga, Sandy, Margot, Larry, thank you so much for coming in. You can find out more about Cirque Press through Cirque Journal and Cirque Journal, all of it at cirquejournal.com. That's CIRQUE journal.com. That is the place to go for the website and to check out this fantastic journal that they do as well. And of course, you can also visit hearthsidebooks.com and or the new location, which is where this event is happening tomorrow at 3:00. And it's at the Mendenhall location. Olga's settling in there really well. The location is fantastic. So that's hearthsidebooks.com, where you can find out more about this event as well as upcoming events that are happening. Gwyneth Cheech, for being here today, I really appreciate you all joining us here on Juno Afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. And here's a little Juno Afternoon calendar delight. If you'd like to submit a calendar delight, you can do so at JunoAfternoon@KTOO.com. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Coach Razor with JDHS Softball, and this is a Juno Afternoon Calendar Delight. The Crimson Bear softball team is bringing back the Pumpkin Patch event. The Pumpkin Patch will be on Saturday, October 11th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Adair Kennedy Field Complex. Bring your family to the Pumpkin Patch and pick out your perfect pumpkins. Pumpkins will be priced from $15 to $25 each. There will also be games for the kids, face painting, sweet treats with hot drinks, cotton candy, and a family picture area. You can find out more information on our JDHS softball Facebook page or by calling or texting 907-957-1311. Thank you, have a great fall, and we hope to see you at the Pumpkin Patch.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Should've known you can't trust me, 'cause I won't fight for anything except empathy. Can't commit to one idea. Driving circles and I always check my mirror, but it's not like I can't see what's wrong. I read the news, I just hate protest songs. It's too easy to say, put your guns away. Power, on the bows to power. Surround myself with like-minded peers and talk for hours. All I know is who could harm me. But I can't fix it on my own. No, I'd have to raise an army. And I won't kill anything. And I don't want the crown of king. I'm just hoping for a peaceful war. But then again, I want to win. But I won't rescue anything except my dog. I know you think that I'm naive, but I said nihilists are not immune to grief. Just convinced we've been ugly from day one. Nobody selfless ever reaches for a throne. And it's hard where we find our faith. But I worry, I'm talking to myself, 'cause all my monologues end with you're all going to hell. Nobody cares like I do. But I'm pretty sure you think that nobody cares like you. So I will try to be kind, I will share what is mine, but that's not enough to prove my love, heaven's above, and it's smothering us.
That is a little of Josh Fortenberry. It's a title track off his new album just released today, Tidy Memorial. It's called The Heavens Above. He does have two album release parties happening tonight and tomorrow. He came on the show earlier this week. You can check that out at Juno Afternoon. The webpage for Juno Afternoon on kto.org/JunoAfternoon. It was a great conversation. He played a few songs. You are listening to Juno Afternoon from listener-supported public media, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now in the studio by Kara Johnson, and shortly to be joined by Janice Holst. There's Janice. Come on in, Janice. She is coming in now. Kara, nice to see you.
Hello.
Welcome in. Good to the Chiefs for being here. You both are from the Pioneers of Alaska, Juno Igloo, who are sponsoring a wood stacking contest, which is taking place. Have Janice sit right there, which is taking place now, and the judging will be on October 18th. So it's really a pleasure to have you both in the studio. Gunath Chish, Kara, Wasiati, how are you today?
Doing great, thank you. Excited Excellent. To be here.
Excellent. And Janice, getting settled there, put that microphone right in front of you. Ta-da! Okay. Come on and lean a little bit forward there if you can.
Yes.
Hi. Hi, Janice. Gunath Chish, Wasiati, how are you?
I'm fine.
Excellent. Well, it's
just
great.
Just a little bit.
It's okay. That's okay. It's nice to have an entrance, to make an entrance. I didn't even have the video on either, so you would have made a really nice entrance had I done that.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
Let's just put it there for us now.
So
tell me first about the Pioneers of Alaska Juno Igloo. What is that?
Janice, do you want to give an overview?
Well, certainly. It's a great organization, and we're interested in the history of Juno and keeping things nice and celebrating all certain things like this, this signage and everything that we take care of. And we meet once a month at the, the Yacht Club.
Yes. The Yacht Club at the last Friday of the month.
Yeah, but we had been talking about finding different places, but we love the Yacht Club, so
the Yacht Club
is
lovely for sure. That's really nice. Okay, and so and you are both members
of course,
the Pioneers of Alaska Juno Igloo. Okay, yeah. How do you become a member?
It's pretty great. So we are technically have a men's igloo and a women's igloo, and we are both number six. And we to become a member of the igloo, you have to live in Alaska non-consecutively for 20 years. And then you're welcome to join our benevolent organization, and we have an application. You write out a little bit of your story, and then you're nominated to join, and we read your story. And then you're part of our group.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. And we celebrate the history of Alaska and the history of those who came before us and helped make us, our towns great and our all of our stuff.
Yeah. So, Janice, when did you become a member?
Oh, probably about 10 years ago.
Okay. And why did you decide to do that?
Well, for one thing, they kept asking me, but the second reason was a really good one, and it would be a good one for any grandparents or parents around. When you have a senior in high school, they are eligible for a scholarship, a $2,000 scholarship.
Oh, I see.
Of course,
okay.
They have to qualify for it.
Yeah. Right. But it's available to those who are members.
Only members.
I see.
So you have to have the bloodline of
a parent or a grandparent. Mm-hmm. And we issued six scholarships this past year.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kara, when did you join and why?
I joined the Cordova Igloo in probably 15 years ago now.
Mm.
And it was one to be part of a social group and to kind of get to know my community members a little bit better and to be part of an organization that celebrates history. I really like Alaska history, kind of a buff myself. So it was a natural fit.
Natural fit, okay. And so in addition to the wood stacking contest, what are some of the other events that you all have throughout the year?
Well, let me see.
We man the excavator booth at Gold Rush Days.
Mm. Oh, that's fun.
We
for
have
the kids.
Yeah, for the kids. We have a monthly movie night, and that focuses on movies that are either made in Alaska or about Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, real old ones, and it's fun to see.
Yeah, I bet.
Old ones and new ones. This tonight is the proposal, which is supposed to have been taken place in Sitka.
Yeah, we know it wasn't, but it's set there, okay.
Yes, it says Alaska somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a Regent's Tea that we do at the that we celebrate at the Pioneer's home, and Janice is a past Regent Queen.
Awesome.
And then we also are working on a project to get a lone sailor statue here in Juneau. And then we also did a project around the Princess Sophia and then the scholarships.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's excellent. I know the Princess Sophia Memorial is coming up here in just a couple weeks. We'll have some people on to talk about that as well, which will be kind of cool. Okay, and then, so this wood stacking contest, this fascinates me. What is this wood stacking contest?
Well, I came up with this idea a couple years ago to kind of just celebrate things that we're doing already and to have a little fun. And so I brought it to the Pioneers board to see if they would be interested in supporting this, and they agreed It was kind of a fun idea to get the Pioneers out there a little bit and to just to get to know our neighbors as well. And so this is the third year we have it. Like you mentioned before, we will be doing live judging Saturday morning, the 18th. And basically, it's there's a group of four or five of us, and we come to the house. We take we measure the stacks. We take a picture with the owner. We fill out an entry card. And then after all the visits are over, we come together as a group, and then we put the entries in each category. And we have five categories, and then we pick our winners. And then the winner of each category's name goes into a hat, and they're drawn for the prizes that I have.
Oh, excellent. And so this is a really nice bag here, this leather bag.
Yeah, so our grand prize is a wood tote, a wax leather wood tote with a 10-inch Pioneers of Alaska logo emblem on it.
Oh, wow.
Other prizes I have two books. I have Axe in Hand, A Woodchopper's Guide to Blades, Wood, and Fire by Nicole Conan. And then I have Norwegian Wood, Chopping, Stacking, and Drying Wood the Scandinavian Way by Lars Mytegg. And we are so thankful and appreciative of Ace Hardware, who donated this year a beautiful lumber axe, forest axe, excuse me, and a axe sharpener and a steel hat.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're very thankful. This is our first corporate sponsor. So.
Awesome. Great. Congratulations. So you mentioned
Janice did that. She went out and solicited for
Janice
us.
Janice is a hustler, that's for sure.
Well, I just like people to have prizes, so.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned, Kara, that there are five categories, because anybody can participate in this, right? You don't have to be a member of the Pioneers.
And then no entry fee.
So this is
just sign up for fun.
But there's pride on the line,
there
right?
There is. And you get bragging rights.
And bragging rights. So what are the five categories that I want to be thinking about when I'm building my wood stack?
Sure. The first category is Baby Got Wood. And this celebrates the most wood quantity, so the most volume.
Okay.
Protect Your Wood celebrates the best wood storage. So that could be either in a shed or a shack or something like that. The stacked category celebrates the most square, straight, or round stack.
Oh, okay.
Get That Wood celebrates the most accessible wood stack.
Mm.
So if there's something like maybe right outside your door versus having to walk across the yard. And then Woodsy celebrates the best creative or artistic stack.
Excellent. That's so cool. Okay, and then so how do I submit my stack for consideration?
Yeah, so you just can either send me an email or send me a text message, and I need the name of the person, their address, and a phone number so I can get in touch with them and then coordinate when we can come by on Saturday morning.
Okay, and so what, you okay giving that out over the air, the email and such?
Yes, my email is hippychiquita, HIPPYCHIQUITA, @gmail.com, and my telephone number is 907-790-5303.
Okay, 5303. Okay, and that's great. So you would submit that information to Kara. You need a name, the address, and a phone number so you can get in touch with them. And then people would need to be expecting that you would be visiting them on Saturday morning, October 18th, and then you guys will do the judging and all of that.
Yes, and the Pioneers Facebook page also has this information, so you can look up the Pioneers of Alaska Juno Igloo number 6.
Okay, Juno Igloo number 6, Pioneers of Alaska on Facebook has the information. That was going to be my last question, which is, where do we follow you all online? But that's the place to go. Yeah. Juno loves Facebook, and the Pioneers of Juno love Facebook as well.
Yes.
That's so cool. Well, what a wonderful project. What else is coming up after the wood stacking contest, Janice? Is there anything coming up next?
Well, I'm making lunch for all the little pioneers that are going out taking pictures, so... hopefully not poison or anything going to the hospital or something.
I hope not, Janice. Oh,
well, okay. No, I mean, but after wood stacking, do we have any
event,
activities with the pioneers?
Well, we're having our big Halloween party on the last of, actually on Halloween down at the Yacht Club.
Okay.
And if you're interested in becoming a member, that's a good time to check us out.
That's just a good time to check them out. Yeah. Okay. And of course, you can find out all that information at Pioneers of Alaska Igloo, Juno Igloo number 6 on Facebook. Kara Johnson, Janice Holst, thank you so much for coming. I want one of those lumber totes, even though I don't use lumber, but I think it's so beautiful. It's such a great bag. I really appreciate you coming on Juno Afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gwyneth Cheesh, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little bit more of Josh Fortenberry. This is called Groundhog. It's from his new album, just released today on all the streaming platforms. It's called Tidy Memorial, but this song is called Groundhog.
I could argue with a statue, still think I won. And I've been holding back a promise and holding out a gun. I've been lying to my parents about how much I run. But that is not the worst thing I've done. Worry family is a contract no one ever signed. And I think love is eyes wide open, true hate is blind. And I've been hiding from my friends, but none of them are prying. Never learned to take a hit, but I'm trying. Watch another movie about living the same day over and over, about some trouble getting sober, about trading places with another, about some enemy turned lover, about the realities of war, learning what we're fighting for.
And I'm not dreaming anymore. I'm not dreaming anymore. I'm too scared to play it cool and smell it on my breath. And I rarely write a song that doesn't mention death. Think my choices have no meaning, yet I'm filled with regret. And in light of all of this, I'm surprised you haven't left.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Josh Fortenberry's song Groundhog from the new album Tidy Memorial, which just dropped today. But Josh will also be the musical talent or musical showcase, musical...
The musician for...
Musician for the night? I don't know, yeah, whatever it is. But he'll be there on Tuesday, October 14th, for Mudroom's official first storytelling event of the season. The theme this Tuesday is creature comforts, which is really kind of cool. I've got a few folks in the studio here with me today. Molly Zaleski, who is a member of the, as a mom of a student at the beneficiary for this mudrooms, which is Coxtegoohin PTO, which is the parent teacher organization. Mm-hmm. I think I got all that. So let me welcome everybody in. Molly Zaleski, gonna chi shwasaiti.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Taylor Beard is here, as usual, representing Mudrooms on the board. Mm-hmm. And then you brought somebody who I don't recognize. Who's this person?
This is my son, Otis, who happens to go to Coxtegoohin.
Oh, he goes there. Okay.
I'm sorry, but this is actually Coxtegoohin.
Okay, yeah, I've said it wrong.
Yeah, that's okay. It's that X that everybody, that's the X that is a big part of the Tlingit language. And it's that really, it's got to be that glottal in the back and all that kind of stuff. But thank you, Otis, for being here today. Wasiati, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good today.
You're doing pretty good today. That's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Taylor, just remind everyone, in case somebody just moved to Juneau, what is Mudrooms?
So Mudrooms is a storytelling event very similar to the Moth Story Hour. And what we do is we have seven storytellers an evening, and it's usually a $7 donation at the door. We raise that money for beneficiaries within Juneau, so nonprofits within Juneau. This season we have the Coxtegoohin PTO and the Juno Food Bank.
The Juno Food Bank, that's excellent as well, yeah. So that will be, and this Tuesday's topic is creature comforts.
It is creature comforts.
And you have all your storytellers lined up.
We have our storytellers lined up. Molly is actually one of our storytellers. And
oh,
we
excellent.
Also have Carol Bookless, Terry Stage Harvey, Scott Ranger, Charles Ensminger, Amy McRae, and Elizabeth Peisel Davis, who used to be our principal.
That pen. Put that pen down.
I'm sorry. I know. I keep clicking my pen.
It's clicking. It's a clicking noise.
It's a following thing.
It's but anyway, Taylor, you just named everybody who's going to be there, which is excellent. Thank you. I like that Taylor is prepared today, which is excellent, with all the list
I'm
of
not,
people.
I'm not usually prepared. I'm usually going through my phone going, let me find
it. It's extemporaneous, you know,
yes.
That's how it goes. So that's a great lineup for Creature Comforts. And it's interesting because I think we were talking about it last time you were here in terms of the themes are – guides. They're not necessarily strict rules.
Definitely not strict rules.
Yeah. So it's just sort of to give you inspiration.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk to Molly. Molly, you're going to be telling a story on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
What did you get from the inspiration of this idea of creature comforts?
Well, I actually had to work with one of my friends who also works with mudrooms, and she helped me brainstorm. But we ended up thinking about how I kept my cats comfortable during one of the last big Jökulhlaups.
What, the last big what?
Jökulhlaups, one of the last big Glacier Lake outburst floods.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, so you had to keep them comfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So how did you formulate that? Did it take you some time to figure out what the structure of the story would be?
Yeah, so Skylar and I met over drinks, and we kind of talked it out together and figured out what the arc would be.
I see. Okay, Skylar Bear, who is on the board as well, who has a great history with storytelling and is has run some of the workshops that you all do.
Yes, she has.
And you have another workshop coming up, is that right?
We do. Anne Marie she's holding a workshop, and I don't know the exact date. I know that she's going to come on and talk about it beforehand.
Okay.
I've tried, yeah.
It's all good.
But it's going to be on stage presence and how to feel more comfortable when you're up there telling a story.
Well, you know, it is. I mean, that's what I love about mudrooms is it gives everybody the opportunity to get up in front of people. And I used to, when I was younger, I was just always remembered this. But it was one of those things that came out like a study that public speaking was number one fear over death. For some folks, you know, which is amazing but this is such a community welcoming environment. It happens at Northern Lights United Church. It's a wonderful location. Mm-hmm. It's comfortable and everybody's just really supportive, you know, of the event and also the people on stage. And Molly, is this the first time that you've told a story there?
Yeah, this will be my first time doing a story.
Wow.
It's a great story, too. I'm very excited for it.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah. That's really cool. Is there anything about it that excites you?
About storytelling or the story itself?
Doing this event on Tuesday.
No, I'm just more excited about the opportunity to have this fundraising event for the PTO. And because I'm a mom with the school and I'm a secretary on the PTO, then... I got kind of roped into becoming a speaker as well.
Ah, I see.
So I could have also been a little bit of Skylar also.
Skylar.
Yeah.
But so is there anything that like you're afraid of on Tuesday?
No, not particularly afraid. Yeah. I think what was nice with when you sign up to be a speaker is they do have a practice, and that really helped calm nerves.
Okay, that sort of makes it, you get the sense, you get to try it out, you get to be in front of people, and so you're not going in cold on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that makes sense, because the other thing about this, Taylor, is you can't have note cards or anything, right?
Yeah, you're not, I mean, there's sometimes extenuating circumstances where we're like, sure, have your notes, that's totally fine.
Right.
But we try not to have note cards because it's supposed to be a true personal story, right? So it's like, the idea is, this happened to you, so hopefully you do not have to...
Right.
Read off of notes for this, but it can be a daunting experience for people, but it's truly not. Almost every person that we've had go up and do it, they end up saying like, oh, that wasn't that bad, that was totally fine, because like you said, storytelling is a skill and it's such a great way to connect with other people.
Yeah.
So, and once you do it that once, it's not really that hard to do it after.
And I think people have this idea that like 7 minutes seems like a long time. It actually goes by really fast.
Really fast. Yeah.
Right? You're like, oh my gosh, I need more time to finish my story. But then it helps you get the story into like, you know, a good chunk and, you know, not have tangents and things like that. So you have other storytelling events coming up throughout the year. Is there still time for people to sign up?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we have a sign up on the website, mudrooms.org. And then when you sign up, one of us will get in contact with you and we'll say, you know, do you want some coaching? If you don't want coaching, we always want somebody to at least either come to rehearsal or meet up with one of us, not necessarily meet up, but just talk with us over to talk about their story to see how we can hone it better. Because most people, you know, it's your story, so you don't know what details you might be leaving out. So we always want to help people kind of guide their, you know, it's like, I have these questions about your stories. Is this something you would like to add in? Or that type of thing. So we definitely are very supportive of people who sign up.
I see. Okay. And so, Otis, I want to talk to you for a second. Tell me a little bit about your school and what you love about it.
Well, I love my school a lot because it...
What?
I love my school a lot because it shows a lot of us about the Tlingit history.
Okay.
A little bit more than most.
You're learning a little bit more about Tlingit history. Okay. Can you tell me, can I put you on the spot and have you tell me a story about something you learned about Tlingit history?
Well, I learned that, there was a story about a lady who had a dog and she wanted to name it the Tlingit name for dog, which was Cake.
Okay.
But her ears weren't used to listening to Tlingit. So she heard it as cake instead of cake.
Uh-huh.
It's like the food. So she named it Cake. But then years later, after learning this, a friend told her that the Tlingit word for dog is cake.
And she
was like, oh, no, I thought it was cake.
Well, that's really funny. What's your favorite subject over there at school?
Well, I'd say a lot of it is science. We don't do it that much, but when we do, it's actually pretty fun.
Okay. Yeah, so you're into science.
Yeah. Although I did get sick. I hurt myself on a day I accidentally hurt myself on a day that we were doing this cool science project.
Oh, I see.
If anybody knows what baking soda and vinegar.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We put it in the bottle.
Classic science project for sure. That's really fun.
Yeah, I missed it, but the day later we were able to do it in a small group of kids who missed it. And I'm really mad because I missed a friend of mine, Gemma. Hers blew up.
You missed it.
I missed it.
That's what happens when you get sick, I guess, or hurt yourself. It's all good. So, Molly, real quick before we have to go, can you tell me just a little bit about the PTO and what that does and this beneficiary from Mudrooms that will be happening on Tuesday?
Yeah, so our PTO is the parent-teacher organization. We're a nonprofit organization, and we do fundraising every year. And what we do with those funds then is we are able to fund field trips, and we're able to fund extra classroom supplies if teachers need extra classroom supplies. And then we also like to fund different family nights, different family events. Like our bingo nights are always really, really popular with the kids and the families. And it just creates a safe place for our school community to be able to gather and encourage that family time and that togetherness in a healthy, safe environment.
I love that. That's where the donations for Tuesday night's Mudrooms will be going. It's Tuesday night. You can always go to mudrooms.org. Is there anything else we need to mention, Taylor? Are we good?
I think we're good.
Okay, it's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, 7 speakers, $7, and each story is 7 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of sevens. I love that. Well, Gwyneth Cheech, for coming in today. Taylor, it's nice to see you again. Molly, nice to meet you. Otis, good story. Thank you for coming in. I really appreciate you all being here.
Okay. Gwyneth Cheech.
Gwyneth Cheech. You can go to mudrooms.org for more. That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connection, made possible by you via your donation and membership at ktoo.org. Gwyneth Cheech. Reminder, there are two holidays next week. Monday is Indigenous Peoples Day, and Friday is Alaska Day. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Support comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Grass and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help from Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheech.